existing. I think the comments that Daryl Gerritsen just made as to its lack of applicability to Yamhill County is certainly, I think, a concern which we very well might have in addition to theirs. The second comment is that I think I'm really concerned about putting a dollar test in terms of establishing a marginal lands definition within a state statute. In the first place, over the years, other tests will have to be made. There will be amendments to comprehensive plans. Any dollar figure that is established within a law is subject to amendment. Is subject to amendment process in the future, and as well as to major fluctuations at any particular time from one year to the next, and from one part of the county to another. And I think this represents a substantial concern to us. I think the presentation that you had earlier tonight on the LISA system in our county is one of those counties which have been cooperating with SCS to see how that system would work. Really, if nothing else, shows you the complexity of attempting to provide any kind of a uniform test. And before we actually apply that kind of a system in our own county, we're going to take a very long and hard look at it to see whether or not it actually can work within our area. At this point, we're just not far enough into it to know, and before I'd certainly recommend that our Board of Commissioners use the test of that nature, I want to be confident that it actually is providing something for us which is of value. Another major concern with regard to the definition is how that applies to what counties have already done. Again, using Linn County as an example, we are not yet acknowledged, but we do have our basic classifications of land have basically been accepted by LCDC, but there's a lot of details yet to take care of. We've established a farm forest classification in our county, which is what we would be the equivalent of the marginal lands test. That has been a very difficult thing to establish. In other words, it required a great deal of work at the technical level. It required a lot of citizen involvement. It required a great deal of work in terms of getting political acceptance of it. My reaction to it is that the system we have in place today is working. I don't know whether it would work in any other county. In other words, basically what I'm saying is that I think each county has to, within a concept, find its own path, which deals with the physical characteristics of the land in that county, deals with in the way in which land has been developed in the past, and also deals with the legal, judicial, the political, administrative systems that have been set in place in each county. In other words, we're dealing, I think, with 36 different situations, and I think a statewide definition of the nature that's proposed here may very well just not meet that type of test. The second level of other comments, which I think you were looking for tonight, dealt largely with the uses permitted section within the marginal lands. I think here the primary concern that we would have is a blanket establishment of a 20-acre minimum, even with the modifications for a lot of record, as Hector McPherson outlined earlier today. I don't think there's any assurance that a 20-acre minimum is, again, one that can meet a statewide test, but there are circumstances within a county and from county to county which might require some greater modification or flexibility in a test of that nature. A couple of minor comments. The marginal land definition extends to it all the conditional uses under EFU. There are a number of uses statewide many of which are rural in nature, but which, because of the idiosyncrasies of how the EFU bill has been established and used over the years, have never seen kind of fallen through the process. A couple of examples of these are, one is kennels. and another is cemeteries, which EFU land does not provide for. Now, I think you might be concerned about the establishment of some large cemetery in an EFU area, but also if you look at the state, and particularly in the land value, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of small cemeteries which are in EFU lands and which are classified basically as non-conforming uses at this particular time. At this point, I think each of us would be troubled to attempt to try to answer any questions that which you might have.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir, Dave.
Well, if you were to go with an exception process, all land advance, even though it might generally be, could be marginal, wouldn't necessarily be one that meet the test of the exception simply because of services. Would you look at it that way if you were from your planning standpoint?
I think services is a very major concern, and I don't think...
Before you ever take in economics or anything.
Right. I think that we have situations, for instance, in our county now in areas which are now designated in our farm forest classification where the development pattern almost would require services today, and it's a matter which I'm very, very concerned about, and I don't think that you would want to open this up so that you would be creating situations where service provision might be needed now or at some time in the reasonable future.
You know, this Lisa, looking at the Soil and Conservation Service approach, I can see that being used for an exception process. Yeah. And see it one of the tests that you would apply, but you'd also apply the test of services available. Why, if indeed that was the next area you wanted to allow for that, and I think there is a pressure for rural living, and it could well be that there are areas. Of course, Polk County was making that point, as you know, Darrell and I.
But we unsuccessfully made that same point in about 1979.
I know, unsuccessfully. Yeah. Okay, thank you,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day. If I could add to that, one of the advantages of a different form of exception process over marginal lands is that would give the county the flexibility of saying, well, we can't service this area, okay, whereas marginal lands would, of course, put us in a position of having to allow the development whether we can get the services up there.
It's a painting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did you want your map back?
No, that's for the committee.
Can we hold on to this? Todd, I'll just leave.
I've got one more signed up witness. That's Dick Benner. I'd like to see how many people we could get to stay for his presentation. I've got two other individuals that send me notes, and I will at least stay and hear what you have to say. So.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Richard Benner. I'm a staff attorney with 1,000 Friends of Oregon. I have just a few general comments about the marginal lands concept, and then I have a map that I'd like to show you that some people on our staff have been working on for approximately 2 months, and it's incomplete. I'm sorry that it's incomplete. We're working furiously on it, but we thought we'd show it to you prematurely because at least part of it is finished, and I think it will be enlightening about exceptions in the Willamette Valley.
Is this the map?
This is the map of moving right in.
Moved in here, but
on the question of marginal lands in general. Thank goodness for the microphone.
You don't want it right in front of you. 1,000 Friends has historically opposed opening up the definition of agricultural lands with some definition of marginal lands. And the reason for that, there's several reasons. One is that it's very difficult to identify marginal lands. Another reason is that if you look at soils maps in the Willamette Valley and other parts of the state, poor soils mix in with good soils, and if you open up the poor soils to development, you're going to have impacts on the better soils. And finally, because as the system was designed, it had some safety valves in it, that is, non-farm dwellings. However, our board has looked at the definition of marginal lands and cautiously, I emphasize cautiously, suggests that it has some potential, and the committee ought to look very carefully at it. And the reason that we're changing our position from past positions are again, several. One is there is a continued perception around the state that such a thing as marginal lands does exist, that the definition of agricultural land in Goal 3 is overly broad. That came most recently out of the Governor's Task Force on Land Use, but of course voices have been saying that for some time before that. Also, we think you ought to look at this definition because as we look at it, we think it's fairly carefully crafted, and that's very important because it's so difficult to identify marginal lands. It seems to be an effort to identify those lands which, because of their soil capability or because of surrounding development, have lost their potential for commercial agriculture. And finally, we think that one of the things that makes consideration of marginal lands acceptable at this point is that there are other things in the bill that will have the effect of offering greater protection to the land that remains EFU. However, our reason for expressing caution is that it is a new idea and no one has tested it extensively yet. Agriculture for Oregon has field tested it to a small degree in several areas, but we don't know how much land is going to be covered. Just by looking at the definition, I think it's fairly clear that not much land in the Willamette Valley will qualify. And that's for two reasons. One is that most of the Willamette Valley is either fairly good agricultural land or it's fairly good forest land. We, on our own, took this definition and attempted to apply it in some portions of Clackamas County that are good soils but have small parcels. And we found that in Clackamas County, although exceptions have been taken, there are still some pockets of development that have been zoned EFU that would qualify as marginal land under the small ownerships test. And again, we haven't looked at the whole county, we've just looked at some particular areas. And it's clear that some areas, some parts of Clackamas County will qualify as marginal lands, and I expect that we'll have a similar experience in other Willamette Valley counties to one degree or another. The larger impact of the proposal, as we see it, will be in Southern Oregon and Central and Eastern Oregon. Let me tell you a little bit about the map. Adam Dawson here is going to explain it in a little more detail, but just generally what the reason we're showing it to you, this is exceptions in certain parts of the Willamette Valley. We think it shows two things. Number one reason why you're not going to find too much land qualifying in Willamette Valley as marginal lands on the small ownerships test is that the Willamette Valley counties have fairly successfully identified those lands that, because of ownership patterns and small lotting patterns, have lost most of their potential for commercial agriculture in the exceptions process. They've already done that. The second thing I think that it shows is that during the past couple of years, as the Willamette Valley counties have been going through this process, the exceptions process, although it's been time-consuming, has worked in those counties. And the impact on the valley, and Adam will discuss this in a little more detail, is fairly considerable. Now, Adam, this is Adam Dawson. He's a volunteer at 1,000 Friends, and he spent a large number of hours over the past several months taking county maps that show where their exceptions are and trying to bring them down to a common denominator so they can be pictured on a common scale in the valley. Adam, why don't you describe
what you're doing? All right, let me just clarify what you're seeing here is scale of this map is 1 inch equals 1 mile. So that means each of these gridded pieces of vellum there is 640 square acres. Each smaller area then is 6.4 acres. And the total perimeter was established by looking at both current use maps, soil suitability maps, and gradation of the soil. In other words, this map might not include several areas which are less suitable timber areas, but everything that's considered high-grade agricultural areas within the Willamette Valley.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask on this map, I can't read that from here. Is this go down to Salem or where?
Yeah, Salem is down here.
Salem is in the brown down at the bottom?
Right.
Okay, so you're covering Marion.
All right, I'd like to show
you. What counties are you covering there?
All right, this is Washington up here, Clackamas here. Multnomah has yet to be done. Parts of Marion have yet to be done. Polk, Yamhill, and Polk have been done. With a few exceptions, there are still areas left.
Okay.
This is the very minimum of exceptions.
Okay, I want to know the geographical area.
The finished map will reach south of Eugene.
Okay.
probably be about 10 feet in length. As was said, what is included in these maps as far as exceptions areas are those that are approved as well as those that are unapproved and the acknowledged areas. Now, when you're talking about that, since you know which counties have already been acknowledged, obviously, Washington is probably the only one where there would be unapproved areas within that area.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask another question? When you say exceptions, are you including the committed land in our exception process?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, that's a distinct difference between an exception process, and I think you ought to explain that to the committee a little bit. When you call a committed land versus an exception, you're talking about where land has actually been zoned and developed for a higher use than necessarily would be been permitted under the goals, but it was already done. And that's one set of exception you're making. The other set is that that you're taking land that perhaps isn't committed and may be committed in the future. So how much of this area are you showing right now as exception? What percentage of that is in the committed land area?
Well,
and you'd have one hell of a time changing the zoning because you'd have to pay for or compensate for the zoning change. How much of that?
Well, most of the area.
Can you just identify yourself for the record?
I'm sorry, I'm Robert Liberty. I'm a staff attorney with Thousand Friends of Oregon. Most of the areas here were exceptions taken under the committed lands test. However, I have photographs of those areas, and you will see for yourself that thousands and thousands of acres have no development that in any way prevents their use for agriculture. And I'll distribute those photographs.
Okay, that's probably true, except that they were zoned and probably commercially, I guess I challenge you on that, at least in this county, where you could show that over a period of time there was a commercial value or a higher value placed on it other than just straight farming. And I guess what bothers me, when you come in and you try to push the idea that the exception process is well and working, you have a process called committed lands, where if you try to downzone that, you'd have to determine a way to compensate people for the loss of that downzoning. And that's a separate and apart question. So I think they ought to be kept separate. And I do follow that, Mr. Chairman, and I'm going to constantly harp on that when they bring it to us.
Well, I think the photographs will help the committee in understanding.
All right, fine.
The committed lands.
Chairman, could I ask a question?
The red areas represent what?
Exception areas.
All right, I was about to get to that.
And not committed.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Now, that's why we need to know exactly what you're talking about. You have to understand the limitations of a member of this committee like me that doesn't know all these things, and you're always referring to all these past arguments and controversies, and doesn't mean a thing to me. what you're talking about.
Mr. Chairman, Richard Benner. What is shown in red are exceptions areas. They are areas that are covered by the definitions, are included within the definitions of either the agricultural lands goal or the forest lands goal or both. That is, technically speaking, they qualify as agricultural land or forest land. However, in the planning process, counties identified areas in their counties where an existing pattern development or proximity to a pattern of development which made farm or forest practices either impossible or difficult, and then they took exceptions from one or both of those goals. The result is, instead of placing them in an exclusive farm zone or placing them in a forest zone, they place them in a rural residential zone, which means that they then become available for rural residential development. There is no real distinction between committed lands and exceptions areas. Most of the exceptions taken in the Willamette Valley have been because those lands are thought to be committed to non-farm development and non-forest development. They're one and the same.
And the black area represents?
Those are urban growth boundaries, land included within urban growth boundaries.
Okay.
As you'll see, that land in black, because it's black, does not mean it's developed. There are working
it's an farms, urban growth boundary.
Urban growth area.
Okay.
Just
just in terms of specifically how the map was created, was the base maps were U.S. Geological Survey maps, and then they were cross-checked against the most current updated exception area maps for the individual counties, which were then reduced to the same scale, which is 1 inch to a mile, and then cross-checked again. In other words, overlaid on top of USGS maps to see whether the areas corresponded to where the descriptions that were given within those documents. So the precision of the map itself, I think, is beyond question. There are certain areas which haven't been completed yet here in Marion and up in Multnomah, as well as, I said, one or two small areas over there. To give you an idea what the size of a specific area is, this comprises approximately 10,000 acres of exceptions. So you can sort of extrapolate from that as to what kind of size you're dealing with.
Now, let me add that for some of these areas, because LCDC has reviewed some and approved some in the acknowledgement process and then said, justify these or take them out, sometimes, as in the case of Marion County, you have to go through three separate documents. Those documents do not always bear the same name for each exception area. And in when we were collecting the documents, we're aware that it's hard to know. There's nothing to indicate on the document whether these were the approved ones or not. But we tried to confirm that by calling to the counties themselves and asking them to describe the document and the date of it. So if there are areas that are a little bigger than they should be, I hope we'll get them out ultimately. But they were the result of advice and information and data supplied by the counties. Maybe I should show the photographs. Dick, you want to go on?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, just for those of you who can see the map, you may be interested in Canby.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
In Canby, a fairly regular shape for the city with a little neck sticking out.
Canby to me, will you? I can't read
right
those.
Okay, right there.
Okay.
The little black neck sticking up, for those of you who may be interested for what's in that area, it's a golf course.
That's how you got in here. I love it.
Area right here is also a golf course.
We might need this map next week.
you just tell me, what in the red, what percentage of that was a land zone for higher use other than agriculture? Do you know?
I don't know. I would imagine that most of it was designated for
a higher use, more intensified,
yes.
Or a higher intensive commercial.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Senator Day, I, having worked from some of the source documents for these two counties, sometimes the prior zoning is indicated, or it's indicated in the acknowledgement review report. And I'd say that most of this land was not designated for commercial or industrial use. I mean, the vast majority. But was rather in the prior zoning typical of counties before Senate Bill 100, which would be low density, rural, something like a 10-acre minimum lot size. And that would probably apply to just about everything on the map.
Where does a freeway come down? Can you kind of point to, it's hard for me to bring it. Well, you haven't done all of Marion County then, have you?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
See, our biggest problem in the committed lands was that freeway corridor. And you don't even show that. And that was zoned commercial all along.
Well, this area along here and then south of town, the freeway runs like this then.
Yeah.
There were a lot of changes at the time of the report, and I don't know if the zoning as well as areas will. Senator Day, there's something else you might be, with regard to down zoning. Prior to the 1976 Clackamas County Comprehensive Plan, one of the county's best farm areas, south of Canby, was either unzoned or designated for 1-acre lots.
Yeah.
So a lot of what everyone would agree is prime agricultural land prior to the statewide planning goals was also designated for a more intensive use. My understanding, Dick, is that in Clackamas County, the exception areas total, 79,000 acres? It's larger than that. I'm not sure how much larger. I think it's over 80 if you include. Well, if you get beyond the valley up in the Mount Hood area, it gets larger.
Oh, yeah. Let me reiterate that this doesn't cover every exception area in every county. It's only those which have been put within this perimeter, which is our definition of the Willamette Valley, which is done by agricultural use and steepness and elevation.
Okay. Chairman, I'd like to pass these around. They are, first one isn't very dramatic, but you'll see marked here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is down here and it isn't marked on this because we didn't have the overlay. 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And actually, I have to note that 6 and 7 actually belong here on this exception area. And those are all exception areas except for the two that represent areas inside an urban growth boundary, inside urban growth area, and that's this one here, number 4, which is near the airport, and number 5, which is in within the city limits of Kaiser. And with regard to the marginal lands bill that you're considering, having driven this area yesterday, I know that this area down here, to my untrained eye, Kings Valley, includes a lot of the area south near the road in the parcels of, let's say, 5 to 10, maybe 20 acres. And judging by the vegetation on it, some of the hillsides weren't of the highest quality.
Most of those sites had mobile homes on them?
No. I mean, you're looking at areas that are often right in the heart of the exception area. Some had mobile homes on it, and I could see how it might fit the definition of marginal lands. I have much greater difficulty seeing how they fit the definition of committed lands. And the areas, as you can see, some of them are quite extensive, like this one here. And I know that this valley up from Willamina, they took the valley floor, which had scattered development along it, small farms, it might be part-time farms, and then reached up into the hillside and along watercourses and roads, which included some land of very high timber-producing capacity. Anyway, those are the references of the photographs.
What was that land zoned, do you remember, basically?
Now or previously?
No, previously.
I could find out. I don't know. It was probably zoned like most of the rural areas, a rural residential 5. Or
okay, so it had been allowed to go into 5-acre lots and what have you.
Well, but some of the part of the purpose of the Photograph Center Day is to show that, in fact, a lot of these areas don't have any residential development, include working farms, and there are no ways it's impossible to apply Goal 3, which is part of the exceptional standard,
well,
including the committed land standard. The reason, note again, the reason that we included the two from photographs from the urban growth areas is just to show that when you look at this, you should in no way think of this as already developed land, because it's not. Large farms in here and around Salem and some very productive ones inside the urban growth boundary already.
Mr. Chairman, we will make this map available to the committee. We are going to finish it. Adam, what are we? An estimate of when the entire valley will be completed.
Anything short of 2 weeks
will be
here.
Already too big.
It will be done. Worked out hard. I'm not sure I'd want to let loose of it either.
We hope to be finished before this committee finishes work on the bill.
is there some kind of a implied resolution in that?
I think there was an insult there. I think it was meant to be insulting.
Oh, and one other thing I forgot to add. For the Yamhill County exceptions, we also know what the soil types are. That information is provided by the county. And I understand this Fernwood area, which may be one of those that was trimmed down a bit. There wasn't agreement on it, but large parts of it, at least in this area, shown about 40% of it was class 2.
In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, I have one recommendation. This doesn't have to do with this map, about the marginal lands concept, and that is because it is impossible to field test it extensively before this committee will act.
We recommend that the definition be kept such that it's cautiously and carefully done, and we also would recommend that the committee direct the Joint Legislative Committee on Land Use to monitor over the next 2 years how the definition is applied by the counties, so that next session will have some sense for how much land qualifies. The kind of impact on commercial agriculture that allowing an increased level of development on marginal lands will have, so that if we find that we are creating new burdens for commercial agriculture in the state, we could take the legislature could take corrective action in 1985. And there is, as you know, a mechanism available for that in the bill that you passed out, or the Section 24B from the post-acknowledgement law in 1981. Thank you.
Any questions for Nick? The map just scared them off in droves. They couldn't deal with it.
It will be scarier when we finish it. Get down to Lane County.
Thank you very much. Had notes from two people, and the committee members that have to leave will be excused. I understand that you have stayed with me beyond the call of duty. I will be happy to sit and listen to Mr. Lamb and Mr. Brawley if they have something they'd like to add. If they would like to come back when we have seven members, they can also do that, whatever your pleasure is.
That's all I take.
Okay. Just identify yourself for the record, sir. Sorry.
Clifford Lamb, a tree farmer in Lane County, and also a member of this committee, Hag Borig, that has developed this bill. All right.